today's talk, people asked in the question time, it was actually two nights ago, to talk on loving kindness, but they also asked about the four stages of enlightenment, so I did that one first of all. So today we get on to the loving kindness and the practice of loving kindness, especially loving kindness meditation. And it should be no surprise to every one of you to hear that you've been practicing loving kindness already. In fact, ever since you came into this retreat. Because really there's only one type of meditation. And this meditation, or maybe two types of meditation, meditation which works and meditation which doesn't work. And the meditation which works, remember, is called Third Noble Truth Meditation. Letting go, giving up, renouncing. And the Second Noble Truth Meditation is attachment, craving, wanting. And loving kindness is Third Noble Truth Meditation. As with the breath, as with all the other types of meditation which work. And naturally that you have been doing that loving kindness meditation all the time. I did mention in passing, and hopefully that many of you recognise the importance of the statement that loving kindness, letting go, renouncing, freedom, they're all pointing to the one and the same thing. There's no difference between actually those words when you look at where they point to. Maybe they point to a slightly different direction, but they're all focusing on one and the same thing, which is the Third Noble Truth. Abandoning, renouncing. Because you can actually see that when you were doing the breath meditation, you can do the breath meditation in the opposite direction, not with loving kindness, but with attachment. And that always leads to suffering. Or you can do the breath meditation or counting or present moment awareness, you know, with true loving kindness. And then it leads to freedom. As you heard me saying before, there are two types of love to be found in the world. And you know, we use that word love in sort of so many different ways, but two basic types. You know, the love which controls, attaches, which possesses, and the love which liberates, which frees. And it's really strange, as I was saying, I think last night, the question about that quote from the Udana about the unconditioned. And giving the story of just how it's so easy to take a word and give it its completely opposite meaning. And there isn't any cakes. Instead of actually looking at it to say there's nothing there, it's empty. They give it the name as a type of cake. Love really should be freeing. It should be liberating. But so often we take that word and we actually give it the absolute opposite meaning. Because we say that we love our food. Or we say sometimes that we love our children. But it's not real love. We're using that word in a completely inappropriate way. What we're saying is that we're controlling, we're attached, we possess, they're mine. And that's got nothing to do with the true meaning of love. Because when you possess, when you attach, when you control, it's not kind to yourself or kind to others. It's not that which is conducive to happiness to anybody. It just creates more suffering. And how can what creates suffering be called love? Whenever it's craving, and craving is part of that first wrong type of love, the misunderstanding of love, it does always lead to suffering. It's the Buddha's Second Noble Truth. It's very, very clear to a Buddhist. One should know that even if one wasn't a Buddhist, just for one's experience of life. And just in the same way that one can love one's children, one's partner, one's relations, one's friends, in the way of attachment, or one can love them in the way of freedom. So the same way you can love your meditation object in those two ways. With craving, with possessing, with owning, or with freedom and liberation. You know that that's that type of love which controls, which wants, which demands something out of the object of love. It's not the right type of love, and you understand, you've heard me say before, that definition of love from my father, who said the door of my heart's always open to you no matter what you ever do. You've heard that before just from Buddhist texts. It's called unconditional love. It's love which asks nothing back in return, which just gives. And when I would say you've been doing loving kindness meditation already, even when you're doing the breath, if it's going to work, it has to be the same attitude, the heart of loving kindness meditation. when you're watching the breath, to be able to say to the breath, "Breath, the door of my heart's open to you, no matter what you do." Even if you disappear and the mind goes wandering off into space, into fantasies, into dreams, one nods off. "Mind, the door of my heart's open to you." Even if you do that, it's alright. Go. You see how that is loving kindness with your meditation? Have you been practicing loving kindness meditation so far? Being said to your mind when you start sitting down, "Mind, whatever you do in this half hour, 1 hour, 2 hour, or 5 minute sit, whatever you do, the door of my heart's open to you. I'll be your friend unconditionally, no matter what happens in this meditation." Have you been doing meditation with that type of loving kindness? Or have you been doing meditation with the opposite type of love, the attachment, craving? "Come on, mind. How many times do I have to tell you? Watch that breath. Now come on. Do this. You're my mind. You're my breath. Come on, behave." Just like some of you tell your children. "You're my son. You're my daughter. Behave. Come on. Do the right thing." Is that really love? Or is that just more control, possession, even hate? You understand the meaning of love when you understand that love gives things freedom, allows them to go. You might say that love is this beautiful animal which lives in nature, like the great tiger or the elephant. And you may have before been into zoos. I haven't been into a zoo since I was young because I dislike them these days. Why do we put these magnificent animals like tigers and elephants in these cages in the cities, when really their place is the freedom of the jungles and the mountains? Why do you always want to control these things? Why do you always want to put love in a cage and say, "This is mine"? The objects of our love are children in the cage of what we want, and say, "This is mine. This is my child. This is my partner. This is my parents." Why do we put our mind in that cage and say, "You have to behave, mind. You've been on this retreat so long already. Why aren't you in jhanas? Why aren't you even washing the bed? Why didn't you get up this morning, mind?" Did you say that? Or will you say, "Oh, isn't it wonderful? I just got up late this morning." That is fine. Remember to love yourself, to give yourself absolute freedom. No craving, no judgments, no ill will, no guilt. This is a marvellous retreat when we start playing around like this, by stopping bells and allowing people to sleep in. If you can sleep in and not feel guilty, then you've had a wonderful retreat. You are worthy of praise. You are a great meditator. For those people who get up early, because they have to get up early, then you're missing the point. You've lost the plot. You're stupid. So I don't praise the people who are here this morning. I praise the people who were in bed this morning. I do that. There's an old like Zen story. I don't know if you've ever read any Zen of Lin Chi, that's Rinzai. And he was in a meditation hall in this very fierce monastery. You know, in the Zen tradition, they use that big stick, they beat each other up. And this fierce master, his teacher, came in one morning, early on. And Rinzai, this great famous monk, was nodding. No, he wasn't nodding, his head was already down, he wasn't even trying to keep it up. And the service, he's going about to get hit by this great master. And as soon as the master came in, the monk next to him, out of compassion, sort of elbowed him. "Hey, the master's here. Get straighten up, or we'll get hit." And Rinzai, so the master saw this guy doing this, and Rinzai his head was still down here, just opened one eye, "Oh, it's only the old master," and then carried on snoring. And then the master exploded in wrath. He blew up. And he said, "All you monks are so stupid. There's only one good monk in this retreat, and that's Rinzai. He's the only one who really knows how to let go and knows compassion. You're all just up yourselves, you stupid, egotistical monks. You really..." And I like that story, because actually that always at that time showed there's actually something very deep in that story. He was nodding because he was tired. That was his nature. He was letting go. All the other monks were so uptight, they were meditating out of fear. Did you get up this morning out of fear? Or did you let go? Be kind to yourself. Now you can see the different types of meditation. Loving kindness meditation is when you free yourself. Your body is tired, allow it to be tired. If the mind wants to wander, let it wander. One very smart meditator said yesterday in the interview times, he said that he's invented another type of meditation. You've got the breath meditation, you've got loving kindness meditation, you've got wandering meditation. So he went to do wandering meditation. Mind wandering here, wandering there, doing wandering meditation. It's great. You try that. And usually what happens, in the same way you can't do breath meditation, you can't do loving kindness meditation, you find you can't do wandering meditation. When you try, the mind gets really still. What's happening there? The point is that when we control, when it's the love which puts things in cages, which wants, which has anticipations, expectations, desires, has to be this way. And I want to get jhana in this retreat. I've been coming to my 6th retreat already with Ajahn Brahm. 6 retreats I've been coming, and I've heard all these stories of all these other people going into the interview and coming out with beautiful smiles and, oh, damn them. Why not me? Why not me? Because you're not doing loving kindness. You're doing love, attachment, craving, putting these things in a box. So remember what loving kindness means. It's unconditional. That's a great word with loving kindness. Unconditional loving kindness. Door of my heart open, no matter what happens. If I'm a stupid meditation in the whole retreat, stupid meditator, if I never get up once in time for the morning chanting, and if every meditation is just not all over the place, my mind wanders off, it thinks all sorts of gross and indecent things. Never mind, the door of my heart's open to you. And what happens is you're actually undercutting the defilements that way. It's not indulging. What it's doing is undercutting them, because when you don't put conditions on things, it's called contentment. The big word of this retreat, contentment, freedom, liberation, no desire, no craving, no attachments, no wanting, no measuring. If you, those of you who know Pali, know that loving kindness and sympathetic joy and compassion and upeka, this looking on, or equanimity, they're all called the apamana liberations of mind. You know what apamana means? No measuring. They call it immeasurable states. It's a beautiful word. Why are they called immeasurable states? Apamana. Because when you have love, I mean the real type of love, the freeing love, you don't measure anymore. It's the door of my heart's open, no matter who you are, no matter what you do. Whether you're big, small, in between. That's why the loving kindness chart, you go through all the different combinations of sizes. Whatever living beings they are, whether they're weak or strong, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small. It sounds like an inventory of shoe sizes in a shoe shop. But why do we do that in the loving kindness sutta? Because basically it's a whole lot, no measure, everything. This is actually why we call these immeasurable liberations, or liberations without measure. Why loving kindness is without measure. I mean real love. We don't measure anything. That's called unconditional. That's going close to the unconditioned, the unmeasurable, the unweighable. Now here we actually, why do we always weigh our meditations up? It's the good meditation, it's the bad meditation. That's not love. Why do we weigh people up? I like you, but I don't like you over there. That's not love. That's conditions. I mean, what you're saying is, I'll be your friend, I'll be at peace with you as long as you fulfill conditions, my measurements. And of course, that way is the way of the world. That is the way of craving, which leads to heaps and heaps and heaps of suffering, never leads to freedom. So when we do loving kindness meditation, a real deep loving kindness meditation, it's no measure. So when your mind starts to wander, don't measure it. Don't say, this is wrong meditation, this is right meditation, I'm doing it wrong, I must do something better. You see how that's all measuring in your meditation? See if you can do it with real full loving kindness. Mind, I've given you such a hard time in all my life. I forced you, I worked you hard. When I was in school, I made you work so hard to get good grades. I forced you through university. In my relationships, it was just so hard and difficult. And I gave you such a hard time trying to make you be attractive, interesting, inspiring to others. And now I've been here, brought you on this retreat. And now I'm just pushing you around again. Give your mind a break. So in this retreat, in this meditation retreat for 9 days, I'm not going to measure you at all, mind. I'm not going to push and pull you. I'm not going to ask anything of you whatsoever. I'm not going to put you in a cage and say you have to stay in jhanas. I'm not going to put you in a zoo and say that you have to be in this place all the time and you can't leave. I'm not going to tell you you have to get up at a certain time, you have to do this, you have to do that. I'm not going to judge or measure you for 9 days. I'm not even going to measure time. Timeless, measureless freedom. Imagine if you could do that for this meditation retreat. Oh, you bliss out. Now you have blissed out, probably know what I mean. You freed yourself from all these measures. It seems to be a contradiction. If I don't try, if I don't control, if I don't measure, then where would I be? Nowhere. Isn't that the best place to be? Who wants to be somewhere? When you're even nowhere, I mean, you're free. And it's a strange thing, you do this. You try to meditate. You try to control, you try and put your mind in a box. Say, I must stay in this present moment, I must stay in this time, I can't go out. And you force yourself. You don't put gatekeepers on the gate, you put the SS, Nazis, for your mindfulness. And you put yourself in sort of Auschwitz if you actually even wander off for a few moments. That's what we do, we punish ourselves, feel guilt and ill will. So loving kindness, we do the opposite. Mind, will do whatever you want. If you really do that, I mean really do that, fully 100%, loving kindness meditation, the boundless state is the same as jhanas. The liberation through loving kindness, liberation through compassion, liberation through mudita, liberation through equanimity, the equivalent to the four jhanas. Exactly the same. Why? Because when you start to let go, remember the same word as loving kindness is letting go. The attachment, love, craving, that type of love is second noble truth, leads to suffering. The third noble truth, achaga, liberality, giving up. I don't know, the liber and love, whether that actually has got a common root. Sometimes you like to investigate the meaning of words, the roots of words, because sometimes they've got a common root there, freedom and love. Now that, liberation, liberality, that's where it comes from, freedom. I don't know if it has the same word, meaning as the root of love as well. Anyway, we see like metta and mutti. Metta is love, loving kindness. Mutti is freedom. Maybe they have some link in the long distant past of the formation of words. Certainly very, very, very close together. But whatever, you can actually see that third noble truth of chaga, giving up, that's what love is. Love gives and doesn't expect anything back in return. That's what we really mean when we actually have a child and we really love them. Say, the door of my heart's been opened, no matter what you ever do. You give everything to your children. and give your, just like a mother will even give her life for her only child. That's why it's called love. Imagine if we just did that to our meditation. We just give to our meditation, not expecting anything back in return. We sit just to sit. We give our time, our moment, our life, our energy to this moment of sitting meditation or walking meditation. We do it just for doing it. We sit just for the sake of sitting. When we walk in meditation, we're just walking for the sake of walking. We're actually giving. Because giving is emptying ourselves. It's letting go. It's throwing away our attachments. It's throwing away our expectations. It's throwing away the ballast from the basket of our balloon. That's why that giving is love. Love is giving. It's all both, letting go. It leads to this beautiful contentment. When people fall in love, they're content. For a while. Because it's the wrong type of love. If you fall in love with meditation, I mean real love, the real giving love, the liberal love, where you just, like a meditator, gives their life for this one moment of breath, just gives for it, and doesn't expect anything back in return, then you know how to meditate. Giving yourself fully in the moment. Giving, but not expecting back. That's what this liberality is. So when you're watching the breath and you do it that way, you're just going to watch the breath just for the sake of watching the breath. You give all your attention, all your energy, all your mind, all your body, all your life. This one breath which is happening now. Then you know how to do breath meditation, also loving kindness meditation. You don't expect jhanas, you don't expect even the mind to stay there. That's why everything stops and it becomes so free and boundless, measureless bliss. Or you have this freedom business, contentment. Remember the simile of the prison again. Prison or monastery, the only reason why it's a prison is because you don't want to be there. You expect something more. Do you expect something more from this retreat? Then you've been in prison all this retreat. If you're completely content with your progress so far, then you're free. But if you expect more, if you have goals, anticipations, expectations, desires, they're the bars of your prison called samsara. They keep you from being free. So how about trying to be radical and have no expectations? To be absolutely content no matter what happens. Get the breath, don't get the breath, fall asleep, get away, miss the morning chanting, get to the morning chanting, so what, all the same. If you're content, whatever happens, you'll bliss out of your little scars. There won't be little scars anymore, there'll be huge scars, boundless, measureless happiness, because it has to expand to contain all that bliss. That's why they call it blowing your mind. So, I enjoy this talk. If you really sort of start to free yourself, that's loving kindness. Contentment is love. The door of my heart is open to you. If you all get jhanas and get fully enlightened, or if you're just as stupid when you first came in this retreat, I'll still love you all. You'll still be my friends. My Kalyana Mitras, good friends in the Dhamma. I'll still come and do the retreat next year again, and even though it's a complete waste of time, keep coming every year. I don't care. Because I don't demand anything back. So, that is actually contentment. Imagine that if at the end of this retreat, I gave you a little form, and sort of grade this retreat, 1 to 10, and grade Ajahn Brahm's performance, 1 to 10. And give me sort of a grade, A, B, C, D, E, or F. Wouldn't that be a stupid thing to do? Because we're trying to be measureless, we're trying to be free, we're trying to be content. Yeah, I know that sometimes when you're on form you give a really great talk, sometimes you give stupid talks. It's just nothing to do with me, it's just causes and conditions. It's true. Sometimes even you, sometimes you have a really great meditation, and sometimes you have a really ridiculous meditation. And sometimes they follow one after the other. Have you ever noticed that? What's going on there? It's nothing to do with you. Be content. This is just nature. Just doing its thing. Nature is not perfect. Even those birds, if you listen carefully, sooner or later you'll find one singing out of tune. I remember once in that monastery in Serpentine. There you go. I remember once in the monastery, sometimes seeing these kangaroos. Have you ever seen a kangaroo fall over when they're hopping? I've seen one a couple of times. Now they're hopping through the bush, and every now and again, they land on the rock, they tumble over. And then they know you're watching them, because they turn around, and they look at you. And I know what they're thinking, so you didn't see that, did you? Because they're embarrassed, because they're not supposed to fall over. That's life. Even kangaroos have bad days. So do you. You see what contentment is? It's actually having a very kind. Being free from all of these stuff. Being measureless and boundless, and don't be so judgmental about yourselves. The door of my heart's open to me, no matter what happens. That's loving kindness. So throughout your day, you don't allow what you think is good meditations to inspire you over much. You don't allow the bad meditations to bring you down. You're just blissed out with everything. Because that's loving kindness, contentment. Now when you start that way of practice, it goes against the stream. Not the current of the world, not the way you're used to doing things. It's amazing just how many people come on retreat and they're just doing business again. They really haven't left their workplace. They haven't left their family, they haven't left their home, they're just going in the same directions. They're just doing different business. Out there in the world they do buying and selling business, sort of accountant business, lawyer business, and now this is monastery business, or rather meditation business. It's all business. This is not business, this is like letting go, the opposite, this is freedom, relaxation, letting go, emptiness, love. Not control, but liberation. Freedom, taking away the barriers which surround you, breaking down the prison walls of your cell. So you want to be here, you're content. Freedom. That's loving kindness. The door of my heart's open to you. You're opening the door of your cell, allowing yourself to come in, allowing yourself to go out. How many doors do we have which are closed to our life? I don't like this part of me. I like the good meditations, they can come in, but the really rotten meditations when I'm really sleepy and dull and I get really grumpy and sometimes I get really angry at that Ajahn Brahm. But I don't want to say that because I'm really embarrassed about that. Allow that to be as well. Let everything be. When you let everything be, it's called contentment, it's called freedom, it's called liberality. It's called loving kindness. And that third, fourth part of the of letting go, analia, and nothing can stick to you. Attachments can't find a place to hold on. Strange thing that people think when they let go that way and have loving kindness, I mean real loving kindness, freedom, they think everything will go wrong. It'll be chaos. My mind will go all over the place. It will never stand still. And years ago someone gave me this wonderful simile. He asked me, why is it those birds outside, they've been sleeping all night, where have they been sleeping? Up on the trees. Why do they never fall off? Imagine that you didn't go and sleep in your bed at night, but you went to sleep right on top of a tree, on a branch, either sitting, squatting or laying down. Would you fall off? Why don't birds fall off trees when they go to sleep at night? Because they lose all their mindfulness when they're asleep. They completely let go. And some nights there's a heavy wind. You've seen those trees sway backwards and forwards. Do those birds fall off? I've never seen, maybe little baby birds, in the nest, but real birds, I've never seen them after a very windy night, all lying sort of dead on the ground underneath the trees, all fallen off. This is a long distance, all up, way up there, down here. Why don't they fall off at night? And this person actually told me that what actually happens, the bird's claws, which they put onto the twigs or the branches, when those claws, the whole thing is relaxed, those claws close up. The more they relax, the more it closes. And actually, to open the claws, that's where effort is needed. They have to put forth lots of effort in the morning actually to open their claws up to free themselves. But when they really let go and they really relax, then they stay on. The more relaxed, the more still and stable they are. The more they let go, the more safe they are. When they really let go, then they're as safe as anything. So actually those few birds which do fall off, they're the psychotic ones who don't know how to relax. They're so tense, they don't know how to relax, they're so afraid. And they try to hold on, and that way they actually loosen up. And as they fall off, it's just the same as meditators. Those ones who really relax have the best meditations. They really know how to let go. And don't control. This is why that loving kindness, what it was all about. When you do the loving kindness, still have my heart open to me no matter what happens, this meditation, still have my heart open to this meditation. Don't care what it is, I'll love you meditation. I'll be so kind to you. Doesn't matter your good meditation, bad meditation, you'll still be my very, very best friend. Come on, do whatever you want. When you say things like that, that's why when the mind just gets so still and peaceful. I try to make this retreat a no-control retreat by stopping the bells. Allow you to meditate whenever you want, sleep whenever you want, do whatever you want, for purpose. And that purpose is actually teaching them how to meditate. You just sit here and let go. And you just allow the breath to be. Or present moment, you're just letting go the past and the future. Just the mind does this by itself. Ajahn Chah's famous simile, the leaf on the tree, it only flutters because of the wind, control. If you just take that wind away, take the control away, things start to calm down, still. Telephones only ring because of somebody's sort of got business and trying to control us. They wouldn't ring if everyone was just free and liberated, they'd just leave you alone. The door of my heart's open to your wife, husband, no matter what happens, even if the house burns down, the kids die in a car crash, and I run off with the person next door, and the stock market sort of falls, and we're absolutely bankrupt. It doesn't matter, enjoy your retreat. Why is it we always like to control? Because of fear. We're afraid what might happen when we love. That's why real love in this world is so hard. Those of you who had relationships with other beings, what are the best relationships? Sometimes with an animal, the dog and the cat. Why? Because the dog and cat never want to control you. They always want to give to you. They love unconditionally. Sometimes you even hit that dog and kick that cat. For the cat to just sort of go to its lawyer and sue you. People do that. It looks at you a bit sort of strange, what do you do that for? But then it comes up and snuggles up against you. Isn't that sort of like a real love? Imagine if you could love yourself like a cat or a dog does. Just snuggle up to you, especially when you need a bit of, you know, TLC. And just come up and just say, you know, wag, 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 purr, purr, purr. Doesn't matter what you're doing, I still love you. Imagine you do that to your meditation. Mind's all over the place, wag, 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 purr, 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 doesn't matter, I'm okay. Then you'll be free. And you find out what happens then, things become peaceful. That wind starts to lessen. When the wind lessens, the leaf moves less and less. When the wind stops, the leaf stops. You've let go, stop. That's called love. So loving kindness is when we allow things to be. Door of my heart is open to me, no matter who you ever are, no matter what this meditation is. So you have to love this present moment, no matter what it's like. One of the main reasons why people don't stay in the present moment, because they don't love it. Fault finding. This moment's not good enough, because I'm not in jhana. No. Or because I'm not peaceful, I'm not happy like I was this morning. No. Because I'm tired, because I ate. Because of that fault finding, you're not embracing this moment. Because you want it to be different, you're rejecting. That's why you move away. When you love this present moment, So it's personality, it could be whatever you want. Then it stays. Because you're happy with it. Because you're letting it be. You have to let it be. If you don't let it be, it goes. You see, if it comes into your consciousness, comes into your life, you say, not good enough. Let's get another moment. Let's get something else. It's rejection, rejection, rejection. Have you ever felt rejected? Your poor breath gets rejected every day. In this present moment, it's got so much rejection, it's really got a complex. This present moment, that's why it's so hard to be with. It's so afraid when it comes into your mind, whether it's going to be accepted or not. Sometimes it shivers in fear, this present moment. That's why it can't actually come and stay with you. It doesn't really know whether you'll befriend it or not. Like this little animal, is so afraid when it first comes to see you. Doesn't know whether you're going to love it and take it in, or whether you're going to be cruel to it like everyone else has. This present moment, you've been so cruel to the present moment. This little being called now, which has come to visit you again and again. It's just so lonely, so thin, so afraid. Imagine just allowing this present moment to come in. All dirty and grubby, not the best present moment, but it's your present moment. One which has come to see you. So allow it in. And say to the present moment, with all your pains and aches and disappointments, all your grubby fur and dirty whiskers, door of my heart, so much here, come in. When you allow the present moment to come in, it smiles at you, it purrs and wags its tail. And this present moment, which when it first came in, looks as so unpromising, becomes the most beautiful thing. An object of love is the most beautiful thing in the world. And objects of love don't have to be perfect to be lovable. When you give them that love, they become beautiful, perfect. In this present moment, with all its pain and disappointments, with all its guilt and fear, becomes the most wonderful moment in the world. And you unite to become one with that present moment, which means you have present moment awareness. Still beautiful, loving, effortless, just being in this moment. It's easy to be with your best friend. In fact, if your best friend comes to visit, sometimes we stop what we're doing. All our very busy appointments and stuff, we cancel them. Because a very loved friend has come to visit. Present moment, the most wonderful loved friend. Everything stops as you spend time with now. So easy to be present. And the silence. Beautiful silence when it first comes in. It's almost like pausing by the door. Are you going to let me in or not? Or are you going to sort of keep on with your old cronies of thoughts and thinking? Say, no, I love you too, silence, come in. You allow silence to come in, this beautiful, wonderful silence. If you spend time with the lovable quiet, if you give silence love, it becomes the most beautiful friends you could ever have in the world. But everything gets still. Because love is still. The whole universe stops for lovers. The present moment in you, and the whole universe stops. And the stars twinkle with superpower mindfulness. The leaves on the trees look so green, and even the carpet opens out. You're still empowered. And then as the breath comes to visit you, wow, this is my third lover. Come in, the door of my heart's open to you. And you love the breath with no control. You allow them to be. They're like your child, born of your body, part of you. They come from your womb, your chest. And you give birth to the breath in every moment. Then you bring it back in again afterwards. That is your baby, your child, the creature of your womb. And then you can have this wonderful loving kindness. Just like a mother will give her life for her only child. You give your life, this moment, complete attention, your whole being. The mother doesn't have to force herself to love her child. It comes naturally. She just lets go and there it is. You just let go and you have this beautiful loving kindness towards this silly little breath. The children are small, insignificant things. But for the mother, they're the most important, wonderful thing in the world. Everyone's child is the most beautiful child in the world. Your breath becomes the most beautiful thing. Beautiful on other people's breaths. Beautiful on the last breath or the next breath. Just this breath now. So wonderful, so beautiful. Loving kindness has opened the door of your heart to silence, present moment and breath. And as this grows and grows and grows, the breath, by its very nature, comes so beautiful, like the beautiful child which you love. Like you see mothers doting on their children. They just gaze into the child's eyes, the eyes gurgle back. They have so much fun and joy together. You have so much fun and joy with your breath, till the breath disappears. This beautiful, brilliant, bright nimitta comes up in the mind. What is that nimitta? That is the meaning of letting go. It's the meaning of love. It is the purified mind, the radiant mind. It becomes so easy to get into jhanas that way. That's why you've been practicing loving kindness already, if you've had success. Loving kindness is letting go, is contentment. But for those who want to do the old loving kindness meditation, go right back to the beginning. There are 101 ways of doing loving kindness meditation, focusing on the kitten, the baby, or whatever. You've heard that before, it's been on the tapes if you haven't heard it. Or you can do all these words, may all beings be happy and well, may all beings be free from suffering, may all beings not be separated from their gains, may all beings be free from pain. Keep on going like that. But please don't be an automaton. Do it different every time so it has meaning. So after a while it becomes just like this chant. All beings be happy and well, all beings be free from suffering, all beings be... Why are you thinking about something else? That's why, you know, you don't know that loving kindness chant too long. This is what should be done. Right? You can actually think of all sorts of different fantasies and dreams while you're chanting that. It just becomes, you know, the chant's there but you're somewhere completely different. Make it different. Make it meaningful. Make it come from the heart, not just from the mouth. When you're doing loving kindness, it's all those words are just to start the ball rolling, just to get it going. But loving kindness is the attitude which I've been bringing up during this talk, the attitude of freedom, of giving, giving expecting nothing back in return, which is real giving, letting go, abandoning, relinquishing, not trying to get something. So I just want beings to be happy. I don't want them to smile back and say, thank you very much, Ajahn Brahm. I just want to give, to allow sort of the energies of my life to go to other beings. It doesn't have to be animals and beings. It becomes like boundless. So without discrimination, not just to what you normally think as beings, do it to inanimate things. This moment, my meditation cushion. Do loving kindness to your meditation cushion. Or your stool, your chair. The door of my heart's open to you, cushion, no matter how lumpy you are. So may you be happy and well, may you be free of suffering. So what you're doing there is you're giving energy to the things which you use and which help you during this retreat. Give loving kindness to your food. Those of you who have bad digestion, put loving kindness into your food. Rice, the door of my stomach is open to you. Come in. No matter what you do to me. But you're actually putting good energy into these things and it works. You get probably sort of you get really good digestion that way. Because you're opening up the world. You're opening up yourself. So you have all these like this words you can say to things. The door of my heart is open to you. Or, may you be happy and well. May you be free from suffering. And when you do those things, there's a result. There's a feeling in the chest or in the heart, wherever it is, or in the head, wherever you wish to see it. The feeling of freedom. The taste of freedom. The feeling of love and metta, loving kindness. And that's the most important thing to notice in loving kindness meditation. No matter how you start it, no matter how you get it going, every now and again, don't just focus on the objects of meditation, on the objects of loving kindness, on the birds, on the beings, on the other meditators here. Focus on where this is all coming from. Go to the source, the origin, the Dhamma of loving kindness. Just like you have this beautiful light out there on the screen, you trace it back to where is loving kindness coming from. You find this beautiful concentrated energy, the bliss that is loving kindness. And that's the one to really watch. All of those beings, may all the beings be happy and well, may all the beings be free of suffering. The way I do that loving kindness of just focusing on kittens, or little dogs, puppies, whatever, that's only just to get it going. I don't focus on the fuel, I focus on the warmth of the fire. We use these beings as fuel to generate loving kindness. We use all beings as a fuel to generate wide, boundless loving kindness. I use all these talks to generate moods and feelings. It's not the talk which is important, it's that feeling in your heart right now. The peace, the freedom, the emptiness. All the bars have been taken down. No craving, no attachments, no measures. That's a feeling of loving kindness. And that, when you go to the feeling, not the object, not the fuel, you find whether it's a wood fire, a coal fire, a grass fire, it's all the same heat, the same warmth, the same glow. You find letting go, liberation through breath, loving kindness. It's all the same glow. It's a taste of freedom. It's a taste of emptiness. Contentment. Freedom. Bliss. When nothing is missing. Contentment. That's what loving kindness truly is. And that's what loving kindness meditation is. So don't think there's only one way to do loving kindness meditation. May all beings be happy and well. Don't think that breath meditation is somehow different than loving kindness meditation. Don't think vipassana is different than samatha, or there's all these different ways and means. Those who really know what's going on, it's all the same. It's all letting go of meditation. It's all giving up freedom, bliss, liberation, emptiness. When you know that, you understand what loving kindness truly is, and why you can actually approach that same goal. The mind being free and liberated, things becoming still and peaceful. Because nothing is agitating anymore. Everything is just so lovely. Everything you ever wanted in the world, you have. All the treasures of the universe are right there in your heart, in this moment, right now. And that's loving kindness. When you know what loving kindness is, you are liberated. Let alone all the thousands of people, millions of people, who you bring with you. That's loving kindness meditation. Ala Ajabra. Any questions? Yeah, go on. Absolutely, yes. So anything which gives rise to that love, that positive gratitude, is loving kindness. So maybe you get a meal today, it's maybe not what you really want. Maybe, you know, with lots of something else, you have so much gratitude and kindness that people have been cooking so hard and working so hard while you'll be free to meditate today. They're giving you this gift of food today so that you don't have to even worry about anything just put there for you. I'm so grateful for this. You know, that's loving kindness, which creates this beautiful happiness in the world. But how often is it people, they get so fault-finding and say, look, there's not enough sort of soy sauce in this. You should know better. This is a retreat. I paid $270 for this. This isn't good enough. Come on. It's amazing just how people get that attitude in the world. Just much so petty things. And it's really, they're just making life miserable for others, and moreover, they're making life miserable for themselves. So they feel so happy that the boss has decided to give you the extra work, that it actually considers you to be competent and capable of doing this. oh, I'm just so proud or so happy that, you know, the boss has given me all this extra work, which I can't really do anyway, but it's so nice to give it to me. Whatever it is, like, you get louder with it anyway, you might as well make fun of it. So that gratitude and positive energy, it is loving kindness. The door of my heart's open to you, boss, work, food, body, no matter what you ever do. Yeah, go.
I know you spoke about letting go of control.
Yeah.
Get rid of control. You also spoke really getting them about fault finding mind.
Yeah.
I have a few friends who are just like that, of fault finding mind, and if they happen to phone me, they'll say, I know I'm going to be stuck there for a half an hour or more listening to the same old fault finding.
Yeah.
And then I think, well, then you have to have control.
No, you do let it go meditation. Let go of the receiver. Well, this is it. I mean, it's the letting go is actually, if you don't really worry what people think of you, which is the main thing, you say, well, look, I'm very busy at the moment, it's not really the right time, now can you call me later?
You don't listen to that.
And you put the phone down. You don't care what people think of you. You let go of those sorts of things, it's not the right time. But, okay, it's enough. So the trouble is we're afraid what people think of us when we do that. I think that's really mean, we shouldn't do that. You're doing it out of hatred. It's not the right time for this. No, I'm busy, I've got other things to do. So let it go. That's one thing I would do. Because no matter what you do, what you say, how you behave, if someone's got a fault finding mind, they will always find something for you to complain about. That's just the way of fault-finding minds, that nothing is perfect. Even those birds, those stupid birds, can't they just chant in the morning time, or, you know, when we first get up, but not just throughout the day? We're supposed to be meditating. Can't we, let's tell the manager, can you go shoot those birds, please, those morning birds? Whatever it is, even those beautiful birds, people can get angry at. So, there they go again. So this is a four-party ride, even with something so beautiful like the birds chanting. You find fault with anything. And so some people are like that. So it's not you they're finding fault with. It's just they've got that mind, which is not a peace. They miss the point, they're second noble truth people. Controlling, wanting, fault-finding, thinking that will create happiness in the world. They can only tell you, Barbara, what you should be doing, how you should be talking, and put you right, then the whole world will be happy. But of course, you know that's impossible. You've been trying to put your husband right for years. Does it ever work? No. If you have loving kindness, you realise he's perfect as he is. He always was perfect.
No, I don't have so much trouble with people that
Yeah, that's right. So you just put the phone down and say, look, so thanks very much. Well, you know, sometimes you can get one of these tape recorders which just says yes every 1 minute. Then you just wonder what you want. Because they're not listening to you, they still want to say yes, yes. And sometimes they do that when people do that to me and they keep saying, are you still there? So, yes, yes. I'm sure you can get some sort of computer answering program for people like that. Whenever you get the message, are you still there, that sort of programs in, yes, 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 I'm still there, and then it sort of goes off just blank again. Okay, any other question before we finish off? Yeah, one question then.
Just following up on that idea of really moving into the loving kindness, the structure, going with the flow that you've been talking about. had you in your busy life been, do you maintain that when you move into structure and you have to do things like,
oh yeah,
how do you marry those two, like the goal of it and stuff, or things that you have to do from time to time?
Well, I just let go of the structure. So when it has to do structure, you just allow that to be. So isn't it wonderful to have structure when you have to do, give interviews at 9 o'clock? So I let go into that, and I let you go as well, because it's almost 9 o'clock now, so thank you very much for your question. So we don't have interviews and this. That's what morning entertainment. Who said these retreats were sort of really boring and sort of just better watching the television? Okay, so now we have interviews this morning. And who has the structure outside? Who's supposed to come when and how? And which